anybody ever lived their life and you got to the fourth watch of the night. You can't see. There's no light from the sun, from the moon. There's no light from the sun. And you are like, it is dark. I think we've all been there. But it's important that it's in there like that. Because these guys, and he set them on the boat before dusk. So they've been up all night battling the storm. It's the fourth watch of the night. They are tired. They're discouraged. And then Jesus goes walking on the water towards them. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out for fear. And Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's really you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down to the boat. He walked on the water and he came toward Jesus. He came what? Toward Jesus. But. When he saw the wind and he was afraid, he begins to sink and he cries out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. When did Jesus do that? Did Jesus said, nah, you suffer for a while and get your act together and then I'll save you. Is that what Jesus said? No, he said immediately. But then Jesus rebukes him. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith. Why did you doubt? You know, that's called mercy, right? Where God reaches down and rescues you, but then looks at you and says, man, get it together because I'm here. I'm for you. Just look at me and you'll stay on the water. And then those in the boat worshiped him saying, truly, you are the Son of God. So when Peter's boat, it's in the middle of the lake. You know, anybody, a fisherman would know the safest thing to do is, they didn't have life vests back then. You know that, right? The safest thing to do is stay in that boat. And scientists will tell you what, if you step out of the boat on the water, what's going to happen to you? You're going to sink, right? But the greatest miracle Peter, you know, experienced happened that night when he stepped out of the boat in the middle of a storm at Jesus' word. That night, the winds were blowing, but along, you know, Peter, he just kept his eyes on Jesus. He did the impossible. He walks on the water. Number two on page two, it's just one sentence. Jesus walked on the water. I'm sorry. Yeah, Jesus walked on the water, and when Peter looked at Jesus, get this, he became like Jesus and did the supernatural. God's word says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, as we with unveiled face, what does unveiled face mean? Well, you don't have a veil on it, but what does unveiled face mean? With all my sin, with all my problems, with just me. The veil's gone. It's just me and God, right? Beholding in the mirror the glory of the Lord. So I come up there and it's me in all of my situations and problems and circumstances and life. And I look in the mirror of the Word of God because that's what this book is. It's a mirror because you look in it and you're going to read stuff and it's going to bounce right back on you. And so it says, as we with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Who are they talking about? Us. Are being transformed into the what? Same image. From glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So, are you getting this? As Jesus is, so are you in this world. When you keep your focus on Jesus, you are transformed into His image and you go from glory to glory. What does that mean? It means I'm going to mess up. I'm going to look in that mirror and I'm going to say, man, God, it's me and all of my ugh. And He's going to say, look, don't look over there. Don't look and see the glory. Keep your eyes on the glory. Keep your eyes on me and come on, come into the mirror. Come on. No, don't look. No, don't look that way. Here, just look. Just stay focused on the Word of God. Stay focused on what God says about you. Stay focused on what God's promised you. Just stay focused on this. Stay focused on, don't look over there. No. Keep it together. And we're going to go, because as you look at me, the reflection is going to come back. And when you look in the mirror, you're not going to see you anymore. You're going to see Jesus. Amen. And He's going to take you from glory to glory. Amen. But like Peter, we're going to mess up. Now, I don't mean that to be discouraging, but, you know, we are. So, big deal. I ain't worried about messing up. Number three, I want you to look at this. You might want to underline it. You are transformed by beholding, not by working. You're transformed by beholding, not by working. When you see that Jesus is above the storms of life, you will rise above the storms of life. No amount of self-effort could have helped Peter walk on the water. You get that, right? But he did, and it happened simply because he was looking at Jesus. Now look at what happened the moment Jesus, in my example right now, what I was saying. When I started looking away, what's Jesus saying? Look back, keep your eyes on me. Because what happened to Peter? He looks, he sees the wind, he sees the problems, he sees all the situation. All of a sudden his conscious self started looking at the circumstances and saying, oh, I'm nuts. I'm out here on this water. I'm walking. I'm not supposed to be able to do that. And I'm a dead man. So he starts to sink. But he's smart enough to do what? Yeah, say, Jesus, save me. And immediately, in all his mercy, Jesus picks him up, says, man, get it together. Come on, look in that mirror. Stay focused on me. Would it have mattered if the lake was completely calm? No. Could have Peter still walked on the water? No, he steps out of the boat, he's still going to sink. The storm had nothing to do with it, other than it gave him circumstances to look at to distract him. And how many of you understand, as you walk through life, Satan's going to cause all kinds of circumstances for you to look at? None of us get a free ride. It doesn't work that way. So you got to decide, am I going to stay focused on Jesus, or am I going to let all these circumstances to take me off track? Because I don't want to be sinking all the time, begging God, oh, help me. Help. He will. He's merciful. But I don't want to have that conversation with him every day. You of little faith, I don't want to hear that. What I want to hear? Well done, my good and faithful servant. We made it through this one. Now let's go on to the next one. I mean, that's what I want to hear. But when I miss it, he's faithful. He's there to take me out. Number four in your insert. In the same way, instead of looking at how insurmountable your circumstances are, challenges, they want you to turn your eyes away from Jesus. And while it sounds impractical, the most powerful thing you can do is look at Jesus in every storm. Just keep your eyes on him. Keep your focus on him. When something comes up in your life that's a problem, ask yourself this question. Does Jesus have sickness? No. Does Jesus have poverty? No. Does Jesus have lack in any area? No. Does Jesus have stress? No. Does Jesus have anxiety? No. Really? Does Jesus have? And then think about it. What's that verse? What did we start out with this morning? First John 4:17 is what we start out with. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is in this world, so are we. Think about it. As he is in this world, so are we. If he does not have it, you should not have it. Why? Because as he is right now, so are you in this life. See, that's the power of looking at Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus and you'll become more and more like him. But Pastor, again, you know, my business is in trouble. This is in trouble. I need something practical. You know, you're talking about a mirror and looking at Jesus and trying to stay Jesus-centered. And I'm trying to meet payroll, or I'm trying to get this done, or I'm trying to just make the house pay. You know, how is this practical? Well, you can worry all you want about your circumstances and your crisis, but it will not improve your situation or change your situation. And please understand, I'm not trying to make light of your situation. I'm just offering you the best solution I know that works. Your breakthrough will not come as a result of your struggling. It'll come when you rest, say rest, in the person of Jesus and his finished work. Jesus said in Matthew 6:25, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink, or your body, what you're on. What's he saying? Don't worry about stuff. Well, Jesus, that's not very helpful. Well, just keep reading. Because what he says in Matthew 6, just a few verses more, Matthew 6:32, your heavenly Father already knows you need all those things. He already knows you need those things. And then he goes on to tell us in verse 33, what he wants us to do is this. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then the promise comes. And then all these things will be added to you. What are you supposed to do first? Seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. And then the stuff will come. Now, who is God's righteousness? You are through who, though? Okay, so Jesus is God's righteousness. And according to Revelation 19:16, who is the king of the kingdom of God that we're to seek? Jesus. So Jesus is our righteousness and Jesus is our king. Can we agree with that? So Jesus was actually referring to himself when he was preaching this. What do you mean? When he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, who is God's righteousness? He is. So what's he saying? Seek first the kingdom of God and me. Seek first the kingdom of God and me, and then all this stuff will be added to you. Why? Because now you're focused on him, you're not focused on you and your problems. And when you seek him first, your life, the priority each day, things change. You know, I don't worry about, even when I had no money coming in, even when I had nothing, you know, even when I lost everything I did. Many of you knew me then. I didn't worry about what I was going to eat, drink, or wear. They'll be added to you. The challenge is get past your mental self, which wants to scream and panic, and focus on who? Jesus and who you are in him. Because we just said a minute ago, does Jesus have lack? So if I'm in Jesus, should I have lack? And God got me through that season. Those couple of years were tough. But, you know, I never missed a bill. Never didn't have a meal. In the natural, that was impossible. But in the supernatural, I just forced myself and trained myself. And it took effort. You know, because what does the Bible say? It says, cast down every vain imagination. And you better know when those times were going on, vain imaginations, meaning we're not going to make it, though. You know, we don't have enough. It's not going to come in. What am I going to do with my kids? How am I going to take care of my family? Anybody ever had those thoughts? Okay. Does Jesus have those thoughts? So if he doesn't have it, I shouldn't have it. And it took everything I had inside of me to cast those things down and stay focused on him. I spent a lot of time in the Word. I spent a lot of time listening to messages by faith teachers because I had to keep my mind focused because my mind wanted to scream and go every which way. I think y'all know what I'm talking about. Because you got to understand, he's all about adding to you, increasing you, promoting you, and enriching you. In fact, Psalm 68:19 says this, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with his benefits. The Lord loads us with benefits daily. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean money. The Lord loads us with benefits. You know, a great benefit is being healthy. A great benefit is having a clear mind. A great benefit is having the wisdom of God, the mind of Christ, the peace of God, the joy of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I think all those are benefits. And it doesn't just say he gives them to us. It says he what? Loads us up with them. But it's like that mirror. You got to keep looking at him in that mirror and become more like that mirror than you, and he will take you from glory to glory. That's what that verse said, right? His mercies and his unmerited favor are new every morning. And that's the way to live and enjoy life. I'm just going to have to pass through a bunch of this. So we talked about Peter. You know, in the Old Testament, God told the Israelites to go pick up the manna every day, right? And we know that if they did that, they would eat that day, right? Yes. But he said manna has to be eaten every day. In fact, it says, but then some Israelites tried to keep manna for a second day. And the word says in Exodus 16:20, but some of them didn't listen and kept some of it until morning. But by then, it was full of maggots and had a terrible smell. You can't live on yesterday's manna. Manna needs to be gathered and eaten fresh every day. Now remember, in the Old Testament, Jesus is what? Concealed. And in the New Testament, he is what? Revealed. And the manna story in the Old Testament is a type and shadow of Jesus. And John tells us in John 6:35 that Jesus is our substance and the bread of life. Therefore, the same about the manna. You can't live on yesterday's manna. And I'm going to get on to some of you, so just put your toes under so I don't stomp on them too hard. Some of you come to church on Sunday, maybe. Maybe. And you think that's going to get you through the week. It's not enough. It is not enough. You want to live the way I'm talking about living? You got to change the way you live. You got to make Jesus more important. And here's the weird part. If you'll make him more important, he'll give you time for whatever else you need. Amen. It's weird. You can stress and never have enough time to do anything. Or you can serve God and be hungry and seek him every day, and all of a sudden you get it done. It's crazy. I don't know how it works, but it's God. And you know, it's the same action, you know, because what happens is you can be a person that says, I got to read the Bible. Ugh. And, of course, you're going to try to read it in bed at night, and 3 minutes later, you're what? Asleep. And that's your own efforts. But if you love Jesus, you open up the Word of God, and you start reading it, it's like, oh, my goodness. And all of a sudden, time just flies by. And they're the same action, but one is motivated by legalism, while the other is motivated by Jesus' love and unmerited favor. One stems from self-centeredness, whereas the other is motivated by Christ-centeredness. One depends on your gift and willpower, your grit and willpower, while according to Colossians 1:29, the other one depends on his power working mightily through you. When you read God's word out of legalistic obligations, you'll find that 5 minutes will seem like an eternity. Anybody ever done that? You sit down and try to read the Bible and you're doing it because you feel like you have to. And it's like, oh, I've got to have been written 30 minutes. You look at it, it's been like 4 minutes. You're like, oh, my goodness. But when you're doing it out of love, it's like, wow, man. So let's get back to our original question this morning. Is it practical to be Jesus-centered? Is it going to help your business, your life, your family, your children? Is it going to help? Does it help you? Does it put food on the table? Does it put prosperity in your life? Does it make your physical body healthy? Well, we looked at Peter, right? He got out of the boat, walked on the water. He did great as long as he looked at Jesus. But the minute he got his eyes off Jesus, he messed up. But God's mercy's there. Jesus rescues him. So now let's tell one more story very quickly. It's the story of Mary and Martha. It's found in Luke 10:38-42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So in this story, we find Mary was seated at the feet of Jesus. Martha, on the other hand, is she's busy in the kitchen. She's working. She's doing everything in order to be able to take care of her guests, provide food and drink and whatever she's supposed to do. Who was Martha serving? Jesus, right? And while Martha was frantically running in and out of the kitchen, what was her younger sister Mary doing? So in the midst of all the busyness and the activity, Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, beholding his beauty, beholding his glory, and hanging on to every word that came out of his mouth. And while Mary was resting and drawing living water from Jesus, her sister Martha was restless, frantic, and stressed from serving Jesus. One sister was focused on serving, while the other one was focused on receiving. Quit being focused on serving God and start focusing on receiving from God, and then you will want to serve God. Your motivation will be, I got to do what I got to do. I want to do it, not I have to do it. So look at what happens after a while. Martha's stress in serving finally just led to her outburst of frustration. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work myself? Tell her to help me. So in one moment of anger, she's blaming two people, the Lord Jesus and her sister Mary. Now listen closely to Jesus' response, because he may be speaking to you out of this verse. Martha, Martha, Lee, Lee, David, David, Rocky, Rocky. You are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. It's an amazing response, because in Middle Eastern cultures, it would have been appropriate for Mary to be working in the kitchen. Now, it would have been shameful for Mary not to do that if this had been some ordinary guest, but this wasn't an ordinary guest. And Mary got it and Martha didn't. Jesus was no ordinary person. He was God in the flesh. And the greatest way you can minister to God, now listen to this, the greatest way you can minister to God is not to serve him, but to sit at his feet and draw from him. That's what delights the Lord. Because when you draw from him, you're going to stand up full of faith, full of power, and you're going to go out and conquer your world. When you come to Jesus to draw as much as you can from him, he loves it. That's why Jesus was pleased with Mary. That's why he defended Mary's action and says, one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better. Now, what's the one thing that's needed? Is it to be busy serving the Lord? I'm busy serving the Lord. I got to do this church. I got my business. I got a family. I mean, I'm busy. But is that what it's about? Is life about being busy serving the Lord? That's not what it's supposed to be about anyway. It doesn't say you're not going to be busy. But is that what it's about? Is it to be troubled in many things? No, the one thing that is needed is for you to sit down at Jesus' feet and keep your eyes, your ear, and your heart on him. See, one sister saw Jesus in the natural needing her ministry. The other sister saw him as God in the flesh with life to draw upon. So at the end of the day, when the day was over and Martha was exhausted and mad and frustrated, because of all her self-effort, and Mary was full of God and was ready to go out and do whatever she needed to do, which one truly served God? Mary. Which sister do you suppose complimented Jesus and made him feel like the God that he is? Mary. Martha obviously forgot that this God-man had multiplied loaves and fishes to feed a multitude. You need to understand this. He did not come to be fed. He came to feed. Amen. Number 5 on your insert. Unfortunately, sometimes the hardest thing for us to do is to sit down. Anybody ever been there where it's just so frantic, you feel like you have to do something? That's when you need to take a few minutes, go sit down, bow your head, pray in the Spirit if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and just open up to God and get some wisdom. Sometimes the most challenging thing we can do is to cease from our own efforts and rest solely in Jesus' unmerited favor. Often we're like Martha. We're worried, we're busy, we're troubled about many things. It can all be legitimate. I'm not saying it's not. There are things that we need to do. They're easy to worry about. In Martha's case, she was trying her best to serve the Lord. Understand that. She was trying her best to serve the Lord. She ended up doing many things that day, but missed out on doing the one thing that was actually needed. Believers who do the one thing that is needed are not worried about anything else. On the other hand, believers who fail to do the one thing end up being troubled about too many things. So the question is, do you believe that only one thing is needed, and that is to rest at Jesus' feet and receive from Him? I hope so, because that is the only place that you're going to find the strength and the freedom you need to overcome in this life and live the life that He came to give us. And I'm closing. So is it practical to be Jesus-centered? Absolutely. We find out later in John 12, 3 through 8. Now catch this. Mary, it's later on in the evening, Mary took a pound of very costly oil and she anointed the feet of Jesus. And then she wiped His feet with her hair. And what does it say she did that? To prepare Him for burial. Right? On resurrection morning, some women came with ointment to anoint Jesus' body, but it was too late then. They were doing the right thing at the wrong time. The Lord had already risen. But Mary, because she chose to sit at Jesus' feet, had the insight and the wisdom, listening to Him, to anoint His body for burial when it was appropriate to do so. And this shows that when you do the one thing that is needed, you'll end up doing the right thing at the right time, and God will cause all that you touch to be amazingly blessed. I live such a blessed life. I live such a blessed life. But it has super little to do with me and everything to do with who He is and His faithfulness and me shutting up, sitting down, listening, getting His wisdom and getting out of His way. Because if you'll get out of His way, He will open the way and He'll send you through it. Number six, like Mary, choose to focus on the beauty, the glory, and the love of Jesus. Choose not to let life stress you out and stop constantly being occupied with yourself. Like Peter, turn away from the storm and look at Jesus, and you'll end up walking above the storm. Choose to focus on the Lord and rest in His finished word. Why? Because as Jesus is, so are we in this world. God's favor is amazing. God's love is amazing. You do not have to live the way the world lives. You just don't. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm going to do this a little different this morning. If you're here this morning, well, now let me do it this way. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I don't know this Jesus, but I want to know Him because I want to live like that. Or you say, Pastor, I've said the prayer. I know who Jesus is. I know He's the Son of God. I know He went to hell. I know He died for my sins. I know that. But I don't really get into it. Well, it's time you get into it. And it's time you start living the life He came to give you. So if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord this morning, or you just want to make a new commitment to Him this morning and just reset and say, I'm starting over today. If that's you this morning, if you're here, just lift a hand. If you're watching or listening to me, thank you, thank you, thank you. If you're watching or listening to me, thank you. Just acknowledge before God. That's all you got to do. Now, for those hands that went up and for all of us, we're going to all say a prayer, and I want you to say this prayer with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I receive Your peace. I receive Your rest because I receive Your Son as my Lord and my Savior. Jesus, I accept what you did for me, that you died for me, that you made me new. I want to walk in you and let you take me from glory to glory. I will set myself aside and I will worship you and I will serve you by loving you and receiving from you. In your name I pray. Amen. Now, still, keep every head bowed and every eye closed, please. If you're here this morning, and you're Peter, or you're Martha, and you keep starting to go with Jesus, but you look to the right or the left, and you just keep falling in the lake, and you know God's merciful and He'll pull you out, but you're tired of that life. Or you're like Martha and you can't see the forest for the woods because you're so busy serving God or wanting to serve God that you don't even know God. You have no relationship with Him because you're serving Him, but you're not loving Him and receiving from Him. It's about receiving from God. There's an anointing on me this morning. What's anointing? It is just the power of God that comes upon a person to be released for a certain event. The anointing of God is upon me this morning to set people free. If you're a person and you are here this morning and you say, Pastor, that's me. I keep trying to serve God, but I'm like Peter. I just look to the side and I fall. Or I'm like Martha. I'm so busy doing everything I shouldn't be doing. And I need that broken off my life because I need that rest and I need to focus. We can break those things off of your life, but then you've got to go for it. It's a spirit. It's a spirit of distraction. The Lord's speaking to me right now, and He's saying, it's a distraction. Everybody gets to, these people, there's so many people that get distracted so easily. Whether it's social media or it's Netflix or it's this or it's work or it's family, they get distracted so easily. And then they feel defeated all the time in me because they don't sit down and rest in me. It's a spirit of distraction because if Satan can keep you distracted, you can never accomplish what God needs you and wants you to accomplish in life. If you want that spirit broken off of you this morning, just stand up. Now, why do we use oil? Because the Bible says for to anoint with oil, but an oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And it's not me that can set you free, but it is the power of God through His Spirit that sets people free. So here's what I want you to do. I just want you to move into the aisle and I want you to just line up down the aisle here. There's too many people for you to come up front this morning. But I need to be able to get to everybody because I want to lay hands on everybody that wants to receive this. So just make your line down the aisle on that side. If you would, just come on over. Everybody just come over. Start up here. Cleopatra, could you walk with me, please? Just stay one line all the way back. Just go to one line so I can get through. Okay, now you and Richard just kind of walk past Cleopatra with me and just help if anybody needs help. I'm going to do this very quickly. Just get on this side of her and just walk. As I go back, just stay. Are you tired of the distraction? Are you tired of it? Answer the question.
Yes.
Do you see that it is it's a spirit of distraction that just takes you here and there and how Satan wins when he does? Do you see that? Was it, we're done. Say, I'm done. Say it like you mean it. I'm done.
I'm free.
I will focus.
I will focus.
on Jesus.
On Jesus.
Holy Spirit of God. Let's go ahead and say this with me. Holy Spirit of God.
Holy Spirit of God.
I ask you.
I ask you.
To set me free.
To set me free.
And help me.
And help me.
To focus.
To focus.
On my Lord.
And my Savior.
And my Savior.
And not on myself.
And not on my problems.
And not on my problems.
And Jesus.
As I do that, I thank you
that you will make yourself
real
and true,
and you will save me
and protect me,
and you will take me to a place
of peace
where I am effective
and prosperous in life
in every way.
I bind that spirit of deception and that spirit of distraction.
I bind it in Jesus' name.
I command it to loose you and let you go. It cannot stand against the name of Jesus.
No spirit can stand against the name of Jesus.
And I bind that thing. I release you and I set you free in Jesus' name.
I bind that spirit of distraction.
I bind that spirit of deceptiveness.
I bind it up.
It has no place in you.
You are free in Jesus' name.
You are free in Jesus' name.
You are free in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Be everything God has for you to be.
Yeah, in Jesus' name.
Freedom
in the name of Jesus.
Freedom
in the name of Jesus.
Freedom.
That spirit is gone.
That spirit cannot stay on you.
That spirit is dismissed. We dismiss it in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
We bind that thing up.
We dismiss it. In Jesus' name.
We dismiss it.
We call it gone.
We call it lost.
It has no power.
It has no authority.
It is dismissed in the name of Jesus.
It is dismissed in the name of Jesus.
Freedom.
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 Freedom in Jesus' name.
Freedom
in Jesus' name.
Freedom to be the man you were destined to be.
In Jesus' name.
Now, we can make a spirit leave because a spirit cannot stand the name of Jesus.
But understand this.
That spirit will try to come back.
That spirit of deception,
that spirit of busyness,
that spirit of, oh, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to.
It's all going to try to come back.
And what the Bible says is if that spirit tries to come back and he finds the house,
he doesn't find it swept clean.
He doesn't find it filled back up with Jesus.
He'll come back and he'll bring seven more worse than himself with him.
So now your job is to make sure you take this word.
Wouldn't hurt for you to go back online and watch it or download it or get the CD and listen to it again.
Because what's going to change you is the word,
not me,
but the Holy Spirit
and the word of God.
So get serious about God and just watch what happens in your life.
It will be an amazing transition in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hebrews 6:12 says, we don't want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience.
Through what?
That's kind of what we're talking about here, right?
Patience is just not something we like.
But it says through faith and patience, we inherit what has been promised.
In our culture today, we live in this microwave society.
In other words, we want stuff now. We've been programmed for it to be immediate.
And people don't like to wait.
But the scripture says it's through faith and patience that we inherit God's promises.
And sometimes it's easier for people to start out in faith.
You know, like we're talking about right now, you know, you're in this place and the anointing's here and it's like, yes, I can do this.
And it's easy to start out in faith.
God, I believe I'm going to accomplish my dreams. I believe I'm going to do this.
God, I believe I'm going to overcome this obstacle.
But how many of you realize it gets harder as time goes on?
Because it's a challenge to walk in patience.
When you pray,
can you say, God, I'm not only believing for big things, but I'm trusting in your timing? Can you say that? What did we just read in the sermon? God says, I know you have need of all these things. He will never let you down. If you put him first, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he will never let you down. So you need to say, God, I'm not going to get discouraged. It doesn't matter if I get this immediately. If it takes a week, a month, or 5 years. You understand, there are literally things I've been believing God for 30 years. Some of you aren't even 30 years old. Now, there are things I believe God for 5 seconds and they haven't. Some things have taken a long time. And there are still things on my list of things I started praying for in my 20s and I've been praying for 30 years and believing God for. You know what? 30 years is going to pass anyway. So you may as well believe God as opposed to get depressed. You know, time's going to go by anyway. And God's faithful. And what the youth learned on Wednesday night was that sometimes God says no, and he says no for a reason. And one of the passages the pastor read that night was the passage where Paul, he's heading off to minister. And he's like, okay, we're going to go to Asia. And God says, no. And he says, well, we're going to go over here. And God says, no. And finally, it's like, okay, we're going to stop and listen and see what God says. And God says, go here. So sometimes God will say, no. Why? Because, back to Martha. If Paul had gone to Asia to preach the gospel, is that a good thing? But is that God's perfect will? No. Because you know what book came out of that? The book of Philippians, the Philippi church. If you ever read the book of Philippians, there's all kinds of great things in that book about the promises of God. But if that church had never been started, if he hadn't listened to God, that book would have never been written. So sometimes God says no. Sometimes we got to wait on God's timing. And how many of us just love that part? I don't love that part. I don't want to wait on God's timing. Sometimes I want it now. And God says, who's in charge? And you got to just shut up, sit down, and have peace. And say, God, I know you're faithful. I know you are faithful. And he's always faithful. He has never let me down. And most of you, you know about giving. You know about receiving. I mean, it's God's way in everything God does. And so as we give our tithes, we give our offerings today, I need you to know that you know that you know that God honors his word and is faithful. We know that if we cast our bread upon the waters, the Bible says that after many days it will return unto you. We know that sometimes faith takes time. So we give as we should, and we just trust God, we honor his word, and we know that he is always faithful. Say, he's always faithful. So remember, it's through faith and patience that we inherit the promises. Amen? Father, in Jesus' name, as we take what we've decided to give, I thank you that you always cause us to receive back more than we give. I just thank you that that's your system, seed, time, and harvest. It just goes out, and more comes back. And I just appreciate your system. I love it. I thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. All right, guys, quickly, if you would do that. And I am very sorry for the lateness of the hour. It just, we took a lot of time with our youth, but I hope you thought that was worth it. Because it is very important for them to give testimony and voice to what happens to them. It's very important. So, again, my apologies for how late it is. We'll get you out of here in just 1 second. I do want to, for the dads, I do have a 3-minute video that I do want you to see. It's a new video we haven't seen before. Well, I've seen it, but y'all haven't seen it before. So I'm going to pray, and then you will be dismissed as soon as the video is over. Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you for the word. I thank you, Father, that no weapon formed against us prospers. I thank you, Lord God, that as we look into that mirror and we look at Jesus and we stay focused on Jesus, that you will move obstacles. You will take things out of our way. You will move us from glory to glory. And we will be a blessing to people and a blessing to you, walking in your rest and walking in your word. And I praise you, Father, for it. I thank you that you trust us enough to do that. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Angels of God, I dispatch you into this next week to go and prepare our week. I thank you for a prosperous, anointed week in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for the fathers that are watching, the fathers that are in this room, that we all would be blessed by our children, that you would give us wisdom on how to raise our children, wisdom on how to take care of our children, wisdom on how to guide and lead our children. And I thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So dads, enjoy this, especially if you have a daughter like I do.
Do you love Mom?
I do.
How much? Dad, do you love Mom?
I do.
How much?
Gobs and gobs.
Dad,
mm-hmm.
Do you love my brother?
Connor? I do.
How much?
Gobs and gobs.
Dad,
mm-hmm.
Do you love God?
Yeah.
How much?
Gobs and gobs.
Dad,
uh-huh.
Do you love me? Dad.
I do.
How much? I already know.
Gobs and gobs.
Dad.
Mm-hmm.
How much is a gob?
Well, let me put it like this. Your favorite color is yellow. And when you eat those nutter butter cookies, you always scrape the peanut butter out of the middle and you secretly feed it to the dog because you think the dog deserves a treat too. At nighttime, I know before you go to bed, you always pull your Barbies all together because you don't want them to be lonely. And sometimes when you get a little nervous, you bat your eyes like this. They get really, really, really fast. But when you're happy and when you're excited, you always twirl your hair right beside your ear. And you love your mama's red earrings. And you always seem to eat your green beans one at a time. You see, my love, I notice you, and I love being your daddy, and I will always be here for you, even on your best days, even on your worst days. Your daddy loves you and will always be here for you, and that, my dear, that's what a gob is.
I gob you too, Daddy.